Well, good afternoon, and welcome back to the Tuesday afternoon show. I'm very pleased to have two guests in the studio with me to discuss the first part of our three-part series that we're going to do on envisioning a village. And first, may I introduce Carolyn Bennett. Carolyn and I met last week for the first time in person. Went up to Hunter and had a delightful lunch with her. That was terrific. Carolyn has done so many things, it would probably take a half an hour to list just that. But let me just say that she is the Director of Marketing for the Catskill Mountain Foundation. She's been a teacher, director and curator of the Zadok Pratt Museum, also an editor of the Wyndham Journal and the Mountain Eagle, taught English, as I mentioned, and she has a master's in creative writing at the City College of New York. Carolyn, welcome to the show.
Makes me sound so old, but thank you.
No, it makes you sound very important.
Important, yes. That's what I think, too. Okay. And Corey Aldrich from Troy. Thanks for coming down, Corey. It's good to have you back in the studio again. Corey is an active member of ACE and is a specifically as a representative of the freelance community. Do you want to tell us a little bit about what ACE is and what that means?
Yeah, ACE stands for Alliance for a Creative Economy. And basically, it's a not-for-profit entity that was recently formed, but been active in some form or another over the last couple of years. It's really focusing on how creative endeavors affect the overall economy. The fifth largest employer in the Capital Region area would be a collective of creative individuals, anywhere from architects to people who are working at gaming companies like Vicarious Visions or artists and musicians on the street. So it's a group that doesn't normally have a voice at the table, so we're trying to rectify that.
That's great. And so would you classify most of these people as self-employed? Is that a fair way of distinguishing them?
I think about 15,000 in the study we did a couple of years ago were considered freelance professionals, and the remaining were employed by professional organizations, anywhere from Proctor's Theater to, you know, Einhorn Yaffe Prescott in downtown Albany, an international architectural company.
Where are you from?
I'm originally from New Hampshire, and interestingly for this conversation, my background was heavily in real estate development.
Oh.
So I worked for a large real estate development company for many years, but I moved to New York probably about 20 years ago.
Well, I'm glad to have you. Carolyn, where are you from?
Brooklyn.
Right. Yes, all right. But you've been in the Catskill Mountain area for...
About 38 years.
38 now. Years. Yeah. Wow. Well, I'm really
Came
happy to have you here.
Came here when I was two. No, only kidding.
So I had a sort of an outline of all of the various things we could talk about in terms of visioning a village. But when we were off the air, Carolyn said something that immediately sparked my interest. So let's actually set my list aside and go with what you just said, which is, okay, Carolyn, you get to imagine a village. What does your village look like?
Okay, thank you. So my village would contain, first and foremost, good neighbors, walkable streets, green spaces, preferably with a town square of some sort. It doesn't have to look like a 19th century town square with gazebo for purposes of gathering in real time. Lots of trees and shrubs, and wherever possible, instead of fences and artificial walls and structures, live berms. An appreciation on the part of, now this is my village, so I can imagine it any way I want, on the part of everyone who lives in it, of its history and its material culture, by which I mean the buildings that make up the, for lack of a better, the kind of 3D set in which we live. And with that appreciation, a conservation ethic that seeks to preserve past architecture. Now, I realize you can't do all, so you have to look at the buildings and say, is this one that I want to save, should be saved? So when appropriate, through a preservation, and not go directly to demolition because something old is something bad. I also believe in new, bold architectural designs where appropriate.
Because that's an interesting conversation between buildings. Yeah,
It is, yes, but also because I said life must go on, and so must architecture.
Yeah, so true.
My own village would not have what I call faux architecture, because I can go to Disneyland for that. It would have places of worship, churches and synagogues. It would have at least one youth center, at least one art gallery, one bookstore, one movie house, one live theater, one bakery, preferably French.
You realize you're getting very close to describing Catskill.
The village of Catskill. After I did this, it was actually amazing. Restaurants, and we talked a little bit about this. So when I say restaurants, I don't mean 10 pizza places. I love pizza places, but I mean a variety of different restaurants and foods so that people would have a reason to return and that they would have choices that would sustain all of the restaurants as opposed to competing with one another for the same product. Small boutique shops along Main Street and adjacent streets. But here come the really important things, I think, that living here 38 years and being the editor of two newspapers, we still haven't solved these problems. Adequate transportation, but not transportation that is mega urban size and has to go all around the county and pollutes while it's doing it, but a kind of boutique niche, a system that is good for people of the village or the town and the environment. So it might be a trolley, it might be two trolleys, it might be one trolley and three jitneys, it might be three cabs, and they could be Uber or not. But right now, and much deference I want to pay to car services that are practically the only way that we can get from one place to another. I'm from the mountaintop. Mm-hmm. But that's very expensive.
Right.
So to go from 15 minutes from one town to another on the mountaintop can cost you $40.
Right.
So, you know, there I think an urban import is practical. A cab, you know, $5 and you're there. A social justice safety network. And that is not only affordable housing, but a plan for how to utilize that affordable housing for every level of person, for lack of a better, that lives in the village, so that if you were able to have a coordinator of housing, you would be able to take people who need housing at a very affordable cost, put them in that housing, have other social services work with them so that they can better their situation, perhaps going into a starter home. In going into a starter home, there might be someone like myself who's getting ready to retire, who has an old farmhouse dated 1854. It sounds great, but it's not. It costs a lot of money to keep it up, to keep it from falling down. But that kind of thing that's taking care of everybody's needs housing-wise, a homeless shelter with appropriate services on the first and second floor, a caring, responsive local government, and good neighbors.
Good neighbors. You started and ended with good neighbors.
I did.
That's wonderful. Yeah. All right. I want to live in your village.
Okay, you can.
That's nice. Corey, let's run with this. How does your village differ from Carolyn's?
I think ultimately there's a lot of things that she mentioned that it would be hard not to agree with, right? I have some specific focuses on things that I'm personally interested in and active with, and I think they resonate very much with some of the things that she said. I think a real hot-button issue today regarding some of our current rules and regulations that are coming down the pike have a lot to do with how diversified as a nation do we want to be.
And not only do we want to live together as a diversified nation,
right,
rather than segregated or indifferent,
absolutely.
Containers.
And, you know, I recently did a an art installation as part of New York Fashion Week, and the designer I was working with had a theme, creating beauty that protects. And part of what we were talking about was the idea that diversity is a protection. Monocultures don't generally produce healthy long-term outcomes.
Oh, that's so well said in such a simple way.
But when we have a diversity of ideas and cultures, they create interesting progress in our societies. Mm-hmm. And I think our societies boil down to the smaller aspects of what they are, which is small communities. You look at Catskill or Troy, New York. These are like the microcosms of the macrocosms, which would move into the bigger levels of New York City or a state level kind of environment. I think the historical preservation aspects that she brought up are really important. It's one of the things that's the major attraction to upstate as a region, because we still have some of those beautiful architectural and cultural heritages that speak to our past, but also create a foundation for our future. And then ultimately, just really a quick note on the affordable housing. I think there's some things that are happening that are really interesting. I was just part of a large art installation project called Breathing Lights that some people may have heard of. There was a couple of hundred houses that were lit that were vacant through foreclosure or abandonment to bring awareness to breathing breath back into the neighborhoods. And it's a real problem in the cities of Schenectady, Troy, and Albany. But one of the innovative things that's coming out of this is there's a new entity being formed called land banks that are able to expedite taking control of those vacant homes on a city level and then providing programming that will help put people from the community in those homes so they can actually reoccupy their neighborhoods and become homeowners. And while doing it, it provides safety and security for those neighborhoods and vibrancy once again. So there's...
This is a really key point, because it's one thing to have an idea.
Yes.
It's entirely a different thing to figure out a means to sustain that idea. Not only to implicate it, but to really sustain it. So how do you increase citizen participation so that you have a healthy, vibrant government that changes, that evolves? And you mentioning an example of a program, I think, that obviously contributes to that.
Well, one of the barriers to people being involved is just becoming so busy and so distracted by everyday life. I think some of the recent developments, politically, have motivated people.
Right.
And if there's any good outcome from what's happening right now, is that people are starting to say, wait a minute, I might need to participate. And so they're starting to get out of their houses, turn off the TV, and starting to get into the streets and have dialogue and conversations. And I think those seeds are being planted now, and they're going to yield some wonderful fruitage over the next couple of years as people learn how to actually be active participants in how they want their communities to look, instead of kind of passive people that will once in a while complain because it's not the way they had hoped it would go, though they didn't participate in the formation of
it. Right. Well, I think a lot of people feel disenfranchised, and not to play victim, but I think are genuinely left out in a lot of the processes and don't know how to find a way in, and frankly are a little overwhelmed just with economics for a lot of people. Getting through every month is not easy. So I have empathy for that, but I think anything either social or political or governmental system can provide a welcoming, inclusive atmosphere is going to benefit everybody, which is part of one of my concerns. Are you done with your list? I didn't want to...
Oh, yeah. I'm just generally kind of addressing some of the things that I felt might add on top of what she so eloquently spoke of before.
She's great. So one of my questions to both of you is, how do we create or foster a classless society? A society that's integrated. How do we go from where we are now, which in my opinion is pretty segregated, how do we evolve into a different way of living together? Any thoughts on that?
I think I have a few thoughts. Specifically, having to do with the role of, for lack of a better, arts organizations and an arts council. So I've been here a long, long time, and I have to say that Greene County, thanks to Kay Stamer, who was the executive director, and thanks to the legislature, because year after year they provide money for the arts, although those of us in the arts feel it's never enough.
Of course.
But the thing is, those organizations have to reach out And they have to... Okay, so I'm going to risk maybe getting a few artists angry with me, maybe more than a few. But art can sometimes evolve into a self-dialogue or an elite, even though we say, gee, no, we really want art for all. An elite activity. Lots of people feel frightened and disenfranchised. So the organizations themselves have to reach out, and they have to build in an inclusive community component. Now, the Arts Council and I, certainly a few members, and I have been having a dialogue recently about reaching out to certain communities that don't come to them. And I think this is really critical. Mm-hmm. You have to go and say, why don't you? Why don't you apply? Why don't you come to performances? What is stopping you? And then you have to act on it. You can't just take an inventory.
May I pause here? Because sure. This is something I'm just really learning about. I'm reading Claudia Rankine's book on the racial imaginary. Claudia Rankine's a just amazing writer and got a MacArthur Foundation fellowship a couple years ago and started this institute. It's called the Racial Imaginary. And so I feel I'm getting a different perspective here. And one of the things that's in the book is a writer who's mentioned, well, yeah, it's the white people who have the power are inviting the black people in. They're wondering why don't the black people come to our white people event? Now, I'm simplifying here, but you can imagine how kind of offensive that is,
but
right?
That's not what I'm saying.
That's why I'm bringing it up. So let's clarify what you mean by how do you actually create participation without saying, how come they don't come to our events? You know, like, well, how do we join?
Okay, so I'll just open myself up and give you an instance. And if you then want to say there's some underlying racism in what I'm saying, I will own it. But I recently went to a council award ceremony, and everybody was white, including myself, right? Most of them were old, including myself. many of them were, they were musical programs that had to do with Count Basie, or they might have had to do with Billie Holiday, which I thought was very curious, because the only person of color in that building was in the other room handing out programs to latecomers. Right. So, I don't know, it just was claustrophobic to me. So I went outside and I started talking with her. I asked her where she was from, and she told me she was from New York City and then came up here by way of, I don't remember. She lived in Saugerties, and I said, gee, doesn't it bother you that people like myself are interpreting your culture?
Right, right.
And that there, with the exception of one gentleman from, can't remember what country from, he might have been from Pakistan, or mm-hmm. Everybody was white. And again, I'm going to say everybody was old. Uh-huh. So I wondered, why aren't there young people there? Why aren't there people of color there? And when I asked her, she said, I don't know. So I went outside and I asked two council members that were leaning against the car. I said, you know, I've been here a long time. I thought it would be inclusive in the sense that not black people come to my white event, but artists in the community down at, they talk about, I don't know the neighborhood. It's towards the, what's that direction there?
South towards Saugerties?
No, no, wait, over here. It's like people call it a project.
Oh, you know about it.
Hoppenose, thank you. So it's called Hoppenose. So I said, so why don't you go into Hoppenose and say, hey, we have money. And here's how you apply. What programs do you want? And where do you want to have them? There was no dialogue going on. Yeah. Well, this is something that we are going to look at.
Right.
So bottom line, I think they're looking at it.
Okay, thank you.
Am I a racist?
I have no idea.
Well, I don't know. You just said something before troubling.
Well, it was troubling to me that I'm learning about myself and the way that I frame conversations, and I'm trying to unlearn how I frame it and see about different ways to frame a conversation so I can learn. Who am I to judge if someone else is a racist? I'm worrying about me and my attitude and what my actions are and how I can do better in so many ways.
I think we have to speak truthfully with words that ring true. Right. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Okay, so we are unfortunately almost out of time. Corey, I hate to excuse you. I know. It's like, will you come back? Because we have to.
That's all right. You guys were very energized.
This is a great conversation. Corey, any thoughts on this last part?
I have some general thoughts. I think a lot of times, first of all, I'd like to just throw something on the table. A lot of the events that I'm attending lately are extremely diversified.
Great.
And it's a much younger group of people and older people integrated and mixed. So,
and why do you think that is?
I think it's the language we're using and the way we're shaping the events and talking about the events and inviting people to the events. So,
but also you're probably talking about the Capital Region. You're not talking about Greene County.
We just had an event at Hilo in Catskill where it was extremely integrated. We had 70 professionals there. And, I'm not saying it's happening all the time, but I'm saying that, it's about the language we're using. I think sometimes a lot of the problems we have is people are on the same page, but they don't know how to speak the same language, or there's some cultural differences in the way that they go about participating in events or getting together. And I think if we could learn to more clearly speak and hear one another with what we're actually saying.
Mm-hmm. So
it's tricky, though. Language is a complicated thing, right?
I know. I would love to come back because I'd like to talk about the fact that this Renaissance in Catskill is 30 years in the making and is a gentrification. So therefore, it is an import. I live on the mountaintop with people who have lived here, some of them for generations. There's much more work that we have to do.
I'm not saying there isn't work. I'm just saying it can happen. I'm trying to put a message of hope out there.
I'm totally thrilled to hear your real life experience that there's actually movement in this area. But I have to be, unfortunately, really rude. I have to cut off the conversation. Missing out. But will both of you please come back? This has been lively, and we're going to allow an hour next time.
Can we argue when we come back?
I don't particularly love to argue myself.
Oh, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. It's a joke.
If it makes you happy.
Okay.
It's a joke.
Thank you, Carolyn. Thank you, Corey. Appreciate it. We're going to go to a song, and then we'll bring in Jeff and Marquita in.